behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with them, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, in the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault will be found with our ministry. But as saints of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, affliction, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, and patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the gospel reading. Our gospel reading comes from John 1, 29 through 34. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came, baptizing with water, but he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from the heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on him who you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Tattoos. Some of us might have a few. Others maybe think about it. And often when I have people ask about tattoos, I will say, think before you ink. In fact, they should probably have that in some of the tattoo parlors, as often people will go in to get something tattooed in a language that they don't understand, but it looks pretty, only to find out later it means something totally different. Or better yet, somebody whose name was printed on their skin, and later that significant other, they're no longer together, and that tattoo has to be removed. And according to a 2018 Harris Poll survey, the number of Americans having tattoos removed has increased significantly. And it's not easy. There's about 10 to 12 at least sessions to remove a tattoo, as well as the cost that goes with it, which always exceeds the value of the original artwork. If our regrets showed up as tattoos, how marked up would we be? What kind of pictures would we see in the mirror? The face of someone we hurt? The amount of money that we've wasted, the shouldas or the could-haves, I should have been a better parent, I should have been a better student. Dig around in the basement of your life, and what do you find? Wasted years, obsessive greed, destructive divisions, anger, arrogance, selfishness. What can we do with these unwanted marks? Well, we can be defensive. When we're defensive, we don't admit anything, and we tell no one. We live a life goal of to hide it as long as we can. Cover it up, don't address it, don't admit it. And whatever you do, never, ever confess it. When marks of regret, another way to deal with that is to be defeated. When we're defeated, we feel as though we didn't make a mistake. Well, we are the mistake. We didn't foul up, we are the foul up. We beat ourselves up repeatedly with blame and shame. We take the role of judge, jury, and accusing attorney, and the verdict, guilty forever. Defensive people make marks. Defeated people, well, they replay those marks. And there is a better way, and you bet there is. We can be delivered from these ugly marks. As we begin Lent on this Ash Wednesday, we'll start to explore witnesses of Christ. And the first person we're going to talk about is John the Baptist. And what does John the Baptist have to say about defensive and defeated people by sin? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When it comes to all the ugly marks of sin, we can be delivered. Behold literally means see, or as I've been learning in Greek, idou, which I didn't have to look that up, it's memorized. This verb translated means look, gaze, or behold. Behold means here is the point of what I'm saying. John the Baptist says in John 3, 1:36, behold. Both in John 1:29 and in 1:36, John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God. This isn't any ordinary Lamb of God. This is the Passover Lamb of God. John uses the word Passover 11 times throughout his gospel. The entire gospel is structured to help us behold, see, take note of Christ, the Passover Lamb of God. In Exodus 12:5, it talks about the Passover Lamb. If you remember right, it had to be perfect, had to be spotless, had to be a male lamb without defect. And in Exodus 12:7, it goes on to explain how the Israelites were to paint the doorpost over their house with the blood of the lamb. And in so doing, they would be freed from the slavery of the Egyptians. Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. This is a verb that is a present tense, meaning it's still happening, taking place today. What does he take away? He takes away the sin of the world. That includes our sin. Christ not only takes away our guilt, that sin does by us, Christ also takes away our shame. That's what sin has done to us. Guilt is what we feel when we don't have when we've done something wrong. Shame is what we feel when someone else has wronged us. We all know that public shame feels like, whether it be divorce or addictions, trouble with our children, or we feel the stigmatized because we've lost a job or lost our spouse, or we've lost our house or our life savings, and now everybody knows. There's also private shame where we've all felt that too, but maybe we pushed to the edge of our by an abusive spouse or were teased without mercy by other kids. No one else knows, but we know. And that's enough to bury us in shame. We put our hands over our ears, we splash water on our face, we go for a long drive, but nothing takes away shame. Nothing takes away guilt. Sin has marked us. And that's that. End of story. But no, it's not. We don't need to just drink our sin away or work our sin away or explain our sin away or eat our sin away or cry our sin away or bury our sin away. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I know this may be hard to believe. Most of us have carried these ugly marks for as long as we can imagine throughout our life. Maybe we can't imagine it, but God can. And God does. God does more than just imagine it. He sends John the Baptist who says, behold, look, see, here's the whole point of what I'm saying. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Passover Lamb of God does it all for the whole world. The Passover Lamb of God does it for you. When we pray this prayer, Jesus, please take it all away. Tell Jesus what you did. Tell Jesus what you said. What you saw, what you took, what you feel. Tell Jesus your thoughts. Pray this prayer as often as needed, 1 or 2 or 10 times a day, holding nothing back. No guilt is too innocent or recent. No shame too evil or significant. No marks so malicious that we can't be completely removed. Jesus, please take these all away. We're God's baptized children, and he loves us. And for another mark, marks are removed only when they're exposed to grace. What do you need grace for? For being a bad person? Well, that's too general. For losing your patience at a meeting? For calling some coworker a creep? Well, there's a confession. But confession isn't a punishment for sin. Confession names sin so it can be exposed to God's amazing grace. Be firm in this prayer. Satan thrives on guilt and shame. We won't give up without a fight. And you can say to Satan, I have left my sin with the Passover Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's time for a clean start, a fresh slate, a new beginning. And that's what Lent is all about. We don't need to be defensive or defeated. Today, we can be delivered. And we do that by looking at God's marks. Yes, God has his mark on his hands. Behold, look, see, gaze here at the whole point of what I'm saying. I have engraved on the palms of my hand. Jesus has your name written where he can see it. Your name is written in his blood-stained hands. Yes, Jesus loves you that much. Jesus took the nails on a cross, on a God-forsaken cross. Jesus took the nails, and taking the nails, Jesus takes away all the sin and shame. He hung there for us. And Jesus still says, I've engraved you on the palms of my hands. In the end, they're the only marks that matter. The marks on Christ's hands will never be erased, ever. Amen.